Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, broadcasting from the Eastern Plains of Colorado, deep in the woods, where we sit in our basement overlooking our children playing actually in the backyard. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. Just a couple of homeschool dads trying to put the pieces together as we watch the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. Now, we talk about family freedoms here on this program a lot because we want to, A, salvage the family, B, salvage freedoms. These things are important to us, so why not family freedoms? Why not parental freedoms? And of course, parents have been losing a lot of freedoms over the last 20, 30, 40 years, partially through social services and the welfare agencies and their control of the family. The increase in control has been exponential since, well, roughly the 1960s. And of course, parents who send their kids off to the public schools have been losing their freedoms ever since the Brown case from the 1970s. And then, of course, the most recent Palmdale case. Again, parents lost the right to determine what happens within those school doors for kids who were subjected. Now, we're talking about 8, 9, 10-year-old kids subjected to a sex survey out in the San Francisco area. No surprise that it was happening out there. But the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals upheld the lower court ruling that parents had no right to dictate what happens to their kids in those public schools. In fact, a recent Supreme Court case upheld the same thing and basically stated that parents had the right to homeschool, but if they did not want their rights, then they could check them into the public school. And if they did that, then they forfeited the freedoms or the rights or their responsibilities to determine what happens within those school doors. Now, the reason I bring these things up is because we have been waging this battle for homeschool freedoms for the last 20, 30 years. And by God's grace, we've been achieving a little bit of freedom here, a little bit of freedom there. But other parents have been losing their freedoms. And here's a great example of that. ABC News just this morning came out with this article, Should Parents Lose Custody of Severely Obese Kids? And Dave, as you know, this obesity issue is growing all over the place. I think every other day or so, I'm getting another article about what's happening with obesity in this country.
It's a heavy issue.
It's a weighty issue. By the way, the thinnest state in America is Colorado. So we're right smack in the middle. Probably the most active state as well. I mean, you look around, people are jogging, people are hiking 14Kers. I mean, this is the state. In fact, I think this weekend my kids want to hike another couple of 14ers. This is the state where you've got a lot of activity. It is the thinnest state in the nation, but it is heavier than the heaviest state in the nation was 20 years ago. So obesity is a rising issue. It's a growing issue and a growing concern for our political folks as well. Here's the way the article goes. A controversial new editorial is firing up the debate about what to do about kids who have become severely overweight, suggesting that some of them should be placed into foster care. In an opinion piece in Wednesday's Journal of American Medical Association, obesity specialist and his co-author discussed the ethics and legal consideration of taking severely overweight children away from their parents. The piece was written by Dr. David Ludwig, an obesity specialist at Children's Hospital Boston, Lindsay Burton-Murtagh, a lawyer and researcher at Harvard School of Public Health. They also note that given that there are about 2 million children in the U.S. who are extremely obese, removing all of them from their homes is likely unfeasible. Still, they say taking the kids away from the caregivers may be more ethical than another alternative, subjecting the kids to obesity surgery. A 2009 opinion article in Pediatrics made similar arguments. Its authors said temporary removal from the home would be warranted, quote, when all reasonable alternative options have been exhausted. Couple examples here. Jerry Gray, a Greenville, South Carolina single mom, lost custody of her 555-pound 14-year-old son 2 years ago. She told the Associated Press that many people don't understand the challenges some families face trying to control their kids' weights. I was always working two jobs so we wouldn't end up living in ghettos, Gray said. She said she often didn't have time to cook, so she would buy her son fast food. When she asked doctors for help for her son's big appetite, she was accused of neglect. Well, Dave, I mean, we've got to say that this is, you look in the Bible and say, okay, where does the civil magistrate need to overrun the rights of families? And if you define it by the laws of God, okay, which I know people who don't agree with theonomy say, hey, the socialist government can take away any kind of rights and can do whatever it wants to do because we are not going to hold government down to the laws of God. But that's not the opinion we maintain on this program. We believe the only way that freedom is is going to survive is if a few Christians go into the Old Testament as well as the New Testament and use all 66 books to govern the responsibilities, the freedoms, the rights of families, churches, and states. And if the state tries to infringe on family freedoms by doing what the Bible does not allow it to do, it is violating the principles of God's word and therefore ought to be corrected, ought to be held down by the chains of the word of God. Now, we say that the government ought to be held down by the chains of the Constitution of the United States. That sort of worked for about 220 years. Not working as well anymore. But I'd say even more fundamentally, we as Christians ought to say, hey, should the civil government get involved in a family situation if the kids are eating too many Twinkies? And my answer is no.
But Kevin, what about the earth? I mean, I think you're neglecting this. And I'm going to reference here an article from The Sun, which comes out of the UK, as you know, that in the headline is Fatties Cause Global Warming.
No way.
Yes, it turns out
no
scientists...
No way it caused global warming. I would have never guessed it.
Yeah, scientists warn that the increase of big eaters means more food production, a major cause of CO2.
Don't cows produce something, carbon dioxide or something?
Well, you need to raise more cows to feed the fatties.
Okay.
Come on. Now, you gotta
all
stay
right
with this.
All right.
They said it's, moving a heavy body means billions of tons of extra CO2 a year.
Yeah.
Fatties, it turns out, are one of the great contributors, according to the World Health Organization, to global warming.
Yet another reason for governments to get involved, friends. Yet another reason. Hey, save the world. Save the world. Put the obese on diets and enforce it by government control. Friends, this is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous pattern. And I think, Dave, we're heading more in this direction for a couple reasons. One is that parents are not teaching self-control. We know that. And because people aren't self-governing and aren't able to self-govern, they're going to wind up with government tyrannizing them. This is exactly what Ben Franklin said when he said, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, by God's sovereignty, he'll see to it that you're tyrannized if you will not be governed by the moral structures of God's laws. And that's why the book of Proverbs, Dave, is so important for training up our children. I mean, how many references to gluttony and drunkenness do we find in the Bible? And if your children are not trained in the area of self-control with food early on, any wonder why they may have a drug problem or a drunkenness issue when they turn 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age? Of course they're going to have struggles if they're not trained properly according to God's word. And I would again recommend the book of Proverbs to parents. You have a responsibility, parents, to raise your children rightly. And hey, no government agency will ever be able to do what a parent who loves the child can do by correcting the child, by training the child, by using the rod from time to time as well. And that may have to happen to help a child to gain some self-control in the area of eating. So that's one problem, Dave, is you have parents out there who are unable to teach self-control to their kids. But another issue is that government is not going to solve this problem at all. They can't solve these problems. Government tries to swat flies with a wrecking ball, and it never works very well. Okay, you can't swat a fly with a wrecking ball, friends. Governments try to do that all the time. They're going to attempt to solve these problems because they've already paid for their medical care for most of these poor families who can't afford health insurance. And by the way, they also fund the kids' lunch programs, and they fund the kids' education. They fund and they fund and they fund. And so, Dave, in more cases than not, when the government begins to fund things, they want to control the things that they fund. Of course they do. If they control the education, the health, the diet of that child through the public schools and through the government-funded health insurance programs and the socialist medicine programs, of course the government's going to confiscate more children because they're going to find out that parents aren't doing a very good job in the preventive category, preventing their children from getting all sorts of diseases and diabetes, type B's and other things that happens when they do not have a decent diet. So, Dave, I mean, here, I think our only option is to get back to parents actually taking control and parents doing what parents ought to do. And as parents abdicate and abdicate and abdicate, they abdicated education 100 years ago. They abdicated food to school lunch programs 30 years ago. They abdicate now the healthcare program by voting for all these elected representatives who are going to increase socialist control of medical care. As long as parents continue to do that, of course you can expect more control of your family and more confiscation of children from these homes in which these obese children are growing up.
Kevin, I think you can look at this several different ways. One is from the public policy perspective. In that case, you know, I'm far more concerned about an obese government than I am about obese children. And yet I have to look at the society, the social problem that's underlying this. One is that you're right. What the government funds, the government controls. What the government controls, the government destroys. This is a fact of life. You know, if the government gets into something that it's not really intended by God to get into, it will destroy it. Yeah. What we have is a system now where parents cannot discipline children. That is, they can't spank them.
Yeah.
So how are they going to teach discipline?
Sure.
So we have the problem over discipline, but we also have a problem where children do not, by and large, feel affection and love by their parents.
Sure.
Because both parents are working.
And you got a single mom here trying to raise a kid. Where's the dad? Maybe he's part of the 42% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. Yeah, oh yeah. So, this is all part of it. This is all part of it.
So food doesn't become nutrition.
Sure.
Food becomes comfort.
Right.
And there's a very strong correlation, and I can't prove it to you right now, but I'll bet you if we can find the right statistics, we will be able to demonstrate that the more sexualized the culture becomes, the fatter it becomes.
Yeah. Yeah,
because a loss of discipline with our purity becomes a drive for physical pleasure, regardless of the morality.
Yeah, good
point. So the more we're sexualized and the skinnier the models are on the magazine covers, the more depressed our girls are going to be.
Yeah.
And they're going to throw another brownie down.
Yep.
I can't look like her. I'm going to eat more. And we're going to see the more sexualized, the worse the weight problem.
And that's another point that I brought out in my book on the Proverbs. I'm doing study guides on the Proverbs right now, available, by the way, at kevinswanson.com. But I pointed out that the body size is not something dictated by Scripture anywhere. It's not dictated in the Proverbs. The Bible doesn't go to body size. It doesn't go to body shape. It doesn't go to weight. It goes to the heart issue of idolatry, of gluttony, of drunkenness, of trusting in things that really will yield no fruit whatsoever, rather than trusting in God and living your life by faith. And these are the lessons you're going to draw, friends, from the book of Proverbs and, of course, the entire Word of God. Well, friends, the only other option to government busting into houses and confiscating 457-pound 16-year-old boys is godly parenting. Godly parenting. And of course, we've got to wean ourselves from socialist control of our medicine, our education programs, and our food. We've got to wean ourselves from socialism. Churches have got to come alongside and disciple these single moms. And of course, you need single moms to humbly submit themselves to the direction of discipling churches. But that doesn't happen very often, I know. But where there are people saying, forget the government, forget social welfare programs, forget socialist welfare, I am going to a relational context where I am going to raise my own children, where I'm going to be involved in a church community where they'll look after me if I've got issues, if I got problems, if I got financial issues, if I'm even having trouble training my 16, 17-year-old boy, maybe the elders can get involved in our lives instead of the social welfare system where they're going to come in and confiscate my kids. See, ultimately, friends, it's either going to be a community-based relational system or tyranny, socialism. And that's the direction I'm afraid we're headed. Well, speaking of socialism, they are controlling daycare centers big time now in Colorado. Here's an interesting story I'm going to bring up next, Dave. They are controlling the kind of dolls that will populate the daycare centers in Colorado. That next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we talk about the decline of our civilization, the breakdown of the family. And 64% of children now under 6 years of age are latchkey, which means that the majority of kids being raised in homes today are not going to know what it's like to be with mommy and daddy for any significant amount of time in their lives.
Do you mean to say they're going to come home from their public schooling and have the free reign of the refrigerator?
Yeah, and very little oversight from their parents.
You think they could put on extra weight that way?
Big problem is the fact that a fair percentage of them are being raised by single moms. That's a huge problem. Friends, fatherlessness is all over the place. Well, anyway, here's another story from Colorado. The daycare center proposal. Evidently, new rules proposed by the Colorado Department of Human Services include a requirement that all daycare centers in the state make available dolls representing three different races. The 98-page document obtained by 7 News here in Denver features a slew of rule changes. Among them, children over age 2 must not be served whole milk without a note from a doctor. Kids over age 1 can't drink more than 6 ounces of juice per day. Wow. TV and computer time will be capped at 20 minutes daily. Like, that's going to happen. And staffers must wear clothes that cover their lap and shoulders. But arguably, the most unusual suggestion pops up on page 77. Dolls shall represent 3 races. Interesting here, Dave. I mean, they're controlling the kind of dolls that will happen. And, you know, and again, what they're trying to do, I think, is they're trying to program. These are social programmers. The social services departments, friends, are social programmers that are trying to program the way that kids are going to think about race, about everything, as early as 2, 3, 4 years of age. And let's say right off the top here, anytime we start talking about skin color on this program, and we start talking about race, and we don't even like to use the word race because race assumes that people have different backgrounds and they do not come from the same progenitor. That is Adam and Eve. And that's not our assumption, or actually Noah and his wife. That's not our assumption here, friends. Our assumption is that there are no races. And okay, there's a little bit of a difference in skin pigment, perhaps, as there may be a few with innies and outies when it comes to belly buttons. So we're not going to do any discrimination on the basis of innies and outies here. We're not going to do any discrimination on the basis of skin pigment. And we're not going to make a big deal out of who has 6 nose hairs and who has 4 nose hairs. Okay, we don't do that on this program. We just don't. And I understand that Jesse Jackson and a whole lot of other people make a humongous deal out of race. Now, it's true that some have come from Africa. Some have come from Asia. Some have come from South America. And they've all managed to show up here in the United States of America. They come from different geographical locations. It's true that they have different cultures. They eat different food sometimes. They like different food. That's all fine. But the fact is, friends, I think if we teach our children that that race is a really, really big deal, and you need to really, really distinguish between who's got white skin, who's got dark skin, who's got the black skin. Friends, you make a big deal out of that with your kids. And you're going to create a bunch of racists. Dave, I think the end result of these kids who are constantly being bombarded with the race issue all the time, they're going to wind up being bigger racists than we've ever seen. I mean, kids by nature, Dave, don't even pay any attention to skin color. You understand that? I mean, if you just got your little girl a darker doll, she wouldn't think a big deal out of it. It wouldn't be a big deal. I was on the mission field. I was raised on the mission field. And I hung out with Japanese all the time. Okay, I did not think about race being an issue at all until somebody started mentioning race.
What if you can't tell the race of the doll? And yeah. What if the doll isn't really humanoid? I mean, what if they're those Teletubby things and you got a Tinky Winky? Do you also have to have a Poe?
Oh, what's a Poe?
It's another character. Teletubby.
Oh,
don't you know
okay.
Dipsy?
You got to have a Poe and a Dipsy.
And a Lala.
And a Lala.
And a Tinky
because,
Winky.
Because it's equal opportunity.
Well, I guess
it's equal opportunity.
I mean, if you have a Tinky Winky, do you have to have a Dipsy?
I guess you do. And if you have an Innie, do you have to have an Outie?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, these dolls have belly buttons, don't they? I don't know. Do you know about dolls?
No, I don't know about dolls.
If dolls have belly buttons, if they have Innies, we got to have some Outies. Because otherwise, you're discriminating against the Outies.
What I know about dolls, you know, growing up, we had dolls. We played
you
with
had
G.I. Joes.
G.I. Yeah. Joe, okay, G.I. Joe.
I had
okay.
the old G.I. Joe.
Getting nervous there for a second.
We had the old G.I. Joe before he had the Kung Fu Grip.
Uh-huh.
But just as I was outgrowing the whole doll stage and the Kung Fu Grip thing came around, Mattel, which was the doll-making company, you know, they make Barbies for girls. They came up with this character, Ken. And I know this, that no self-respecting guy would ever admit to ever playing with a Ken.
The Barbie
he might play
thing,
with Barbie, but he'll never play with
problem.
Ken.
The Barbie is anorexic. Wouldn't you agree? If you had a teenage daughter who looked like Barbie, would you be concerned?
Well, yeah.
She'd be dead. If she looked like Barbie, she'd be dead.
Her proportions would be inhuman.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Okay, so what's with that? See, the Barbie is not a doll. Barbie is a pretend character, but she's not a doll. It's not a little baby doll that the little girls are trying to take care of because one day they're going to be mommies. They're going to take care of these dolls. Rather, Barbie is training a little girl to become like Barbie someday.
Yeah, Barbie is a role model.
Yeah. She's not a doll. She's a role model.
Yeah, so she's something the girls want to grow up to be because you know, Barbie is beautiful and she has the Malibu house and she drives the car and she has all the glamour. And that's what the girls want. The girls want to be independent, maybe have some Ken dolls hanging around just for fun.
Can you get a pregnant Barbie?
I don't believe so. And
okay. I didn't know that. I've never seen a pregnant Barbie, but it would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Now, wouldn't
it be? She's probably on birth control pills.
Probably. Uh-huh. Probably.
And can you get little birth control pills that you feed your Barbie with every day?
Please don't even kid about things like that, because they will sell them at that very evil, wicked place, Toys R Us.
Never mind what I just said. Toys R Us, if you're listening, never mind what I just said.
We don't go to Toys R Us because that is the locus of selfishness and bad behavior. But that aside, well, imagine a world in which the dolls girls played with, not the babies, but when they were grown-ups, the grown-up dolls resembled more like women who had had seven children. You know, that they were those who were caregivers, those who considered a field and purchased it, a doll who somehow or other conveyed that her husband's heart trusts in her.
The Proverbs 31 doll.
The Proverbs 31 doll. Yeah. But the Proverbs 31 doll would probably not be as perfect in her curves. In fact, some of those innie curves might be outie curves.
And there's no way the Colorado Department of Human Services would ever recommend a Proverbs 31 doll for the daycare centers in Colorado. I'm just going to throw that out. I do not think they would ever go for it. It would never go for it.
You think of all the accessories you could get, though. You could have a whole line of modest dresses and baths to soak in after a hard day work. And
all right, ladies and gentlemen, Colorado Daycare Center proposal has got all these regulations for daycares in the state of Colorado. And it really brings up the whole issue of who raises the kids, Dave. And these daycare centers, you know, granted, they're being controlled more and more, just like they're trying to control the households that are raising the obese kids. The Department of Human Services is doing what it can to control all of the children in the state of Colorado through the daycare centers. And that's the direction towards total government. It's going to happen through the daycare centers, friends. You got your daycare center license. Now you're going to be under control, and those kids are going to be controlled by the social planners that come out of the Department of Health and Human Services. And we get further and further and further away from families raising children according to the word of God, according to the standards of God's word, and hopefully developing strong character in their children. Well, that's going to be in the minority by a long shot in the next 20, 30 years to come. Dave, ultimately, I think when you get a kid into daycare as early as 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age, these are halftime orphanages for children who don't have active parents in their life. I know that's probably a little controversial. I'm guessing that your average church with a daycare is not saying, we have a part-time orphanage, and we realize that there are some parents out there that didn't really want to dump their kids full-time in an orphanage, but you know, we just wanted to do a halftime orphanage, kind of an orphanage light for orphans light. The orphans light that are out there that did want to be a part of our orphanage light. These halftime orphanages are being controlled by the state, of course. And it's all part of the platonic vision of the government ultimately controlling the raising of children in this country. But when parents abdicate, Dave, nothing but bad stuff results.
Well, what a daycare is. You've heard of a one-parent family. You've heard of two-parent families. Yeah. These are half-parent families. You know, mom has to work, so she's only going to be half a mother. So these are half-parent families is what they are. You only have custody at night and that only after the television program.
And granted, I understand some families just, I mean, that's all they can do. They're just, you know, like the single mom that I read from the previous story. She works two jobs. I mean, she probably didn't have a whole lot of time to raise her son. And he's now 557 pounds, and she just lost custody to him. And it's a very, very sad situation, but it's because, friends, the family is disintegrating. And it all starts when 42% of our kids are being born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. Dave, the only solution to this is for the hearts of the fathers to turn back to the sons. The only solution for this is to stop the fornication. The only solution to this is to start rebuilding families, one piece at a time. And if people are out there shacking up, and I just read that the shack-up rate's not like 10 times, like 20 times what it was in 1970. I mean, it is just exponentially larger than it was in 1970. And these people who are shacking up, they're putting a gun to the head of their family and pulling the trigger. They're doing what it takes to create dysfunctional families in the year 2020. That's what's happening with all these shacking up young people who aren't taking responsibility. They're not growing up. They're not getting married, and they're not having children, and they're not staying together, and they're appealing to the divorce courts whenever they have problems. They're not working through their issues through their families. And Dave, if we're not rebuilding godly marriages, good solid marriages, good strong families, if we're not avoiding fornication prior to marriage, if we're not doing what it takes to put those strong building blocks in place to reestablish the foundations of this country and the foundations of the family in this country, we're going to be in big trouble. I mean, really big trouble.
We are in big trouble.
Bigger trouble.
Yeah, we're not going to be.
I can't see things getting much better, Dave. I mean, as far as the way we raise the average kid today versus 20, 30 years ago, it is at least 7 times worse. It may be 10 times worse than it was 20, 30 years ago now. So the kids in the next 20, 30 years are going to be 20 to 30 times worse off than they were 20 years ago. This is where we're headed, friends. And as Mary Everhart wrote in her book, Home Alone America, where she talks about the problem of daycare, 64% of these kids under 6 are latchkey, she says every single one of these childhood pathologies, including obesity, et cetera, has been affected by the fact that moms have left the home and the families are disintegrated. It's also one reason why we're bringing back family economies, Dave, because that Proverbs 31 woman has a family economy. She's with her children. She can work as a family economy. She can build that family economy. She's home-centric. She's an oikos despotel, as you read in 1 Timothy 5 or Titus 2. Well, friends, it's a whole different approach to raising children. And as we see what's happening in the dysfunctional world around us, we're just encouraging people to, one step at a time, one brick at a time, start putting your family back together. Start finding ways to reintegrate the family. And hopefully these children will not all be raised by foster care or by the social services departments.
And Kevin, the only way that we're going to keep the onslaught of socialism, the only way that the government is not going to come into your home and invade it, is if you're a responsible parent. If the home is in order, don't give the government the opportunity or the reason to come in. Now, the government's not going to like that, perhaps, that you raise children that are independent of it, but if people will not do what God requires them to do, that's to raise their children, to give them nurture and admonition in the fear of the Lord. If people won't do that, they can expect the government to come and try and fill the vacuum. You don't want the government there? Don't create the vacuum.
And let's get back to God's standards in raising kids. And God's standards, the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Again, if you haven't given your family the book of Proverbs, it's God's book on wisdom for young men and young women. Hey, just look at the first 7 verses. You're going to find that the book of Proverbs is all about God's curriculum, God's basic instructions for raising young people into life. And it deals with the issues of gluttony, drunkenness, and all the other things that we've been talking about on this program, God's Book on Wisdom. I recommend it to you. It's found in the Bible. You can get our family Bible study guides if you're interested on the Book of Proverbs, available at kevinswanson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.